Our epistle for the second Sunday in Advent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instructions, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name." And again he says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be the root of Jesse, and he shall arise to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 10. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answering said to them, "Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." Then as these went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee.'" Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I was on mission yesterday, I was going went down to Woodland. Driving back, started to think about what to talk about in the sermon. And the story of a saint whose feast day is coming up during Christmas week, the 29th of December, I believe, kept coming into my mind. Saint Thomas Becket. Thomas Becket is one of my favorites, one of my favorite saints. And the story, it's a story of conversion. Thomas Becket was in the seminary, or was in the clerical state. He was an archdeacon, and then he left. He left the service of the church for the world. To all extent and definitions, he became a worldling, started to interact with people of higher society, became friends with Henry II, the King of England. And the King absolutely loved Thomas, raised him to a very high place in England, made him Chancellor of England. Now, at this point in time, there was struggle between the church and the state, as there had been before and since, many different places and times. Henry wanted to use his power in order to get his way, and tried to get from the church taxes and be the judge of the clerics who were in the service of the church, which, according to church law, no. First, if someone's in the clerical state, then the power or the authority in the clerical state or the priesthood or bishops, they have authority over those people. And then, of course, if punishment needs to be done, civilly, then they hand over to the civil authority. But there was a conflict. And the archbishop at the time opposed Henry II. Henry was trying to reclaim his lands in Normandy and trying to raise an army, and he needed money. He was trying to get it from the church. Archbishop was standing in his way, and then the archbishop died. And Henry had an idea. I can put my own man in the seat of the archbishop's chair. Then I won't have opposition. And who did he think of placing there? Who better than Thomas, his best friend, his chancellor? Thomas had asked the king not to do this, but the king, being very strong-willed, had his mind made up and told Thomas to make the best of it. And Thomas did, because Thomas took his newly found position seriously, for it was definitely serious. He was now a representative of the church and a representative of the church in England. Of course, that conflict still was in existence between the church and the state. And when it came to the forefront, Thomas, having embraced his new vocation and made a conversion from the world back to the church, knew that for the honor and glory of God, he must make a stand for the good of the church. That was his obligation, and so he did, and opposed the king and the king's vassals who were trying to abuse the rights of the church, even to the extent that Thomas had to make use of the weapon of excommunication, which angered the king, sent Thomas into exile, who fled to Rome to petition the Pope to lift this obligation off his shoulders and make someone else archbishop. And the Pope said, no, we cannot become a victim of the state. We support the state, but the church as a kingdom must be supported as well. We make a stand. And Thomas made the stand. After his exile, he returned knowing that the king still had a problem with him, but also knowing that he could not budge. It happened on an occasion of one of the king's drunken rants. He said something that his barons interpreted that the king had the wish to have Thomas kill. And so, during Christmas week, as Thomas was in the church praying Vespers, chanting Vespers with the monks, a commotion was heard. Armed barons came barging into the church, caused the service to pause, and Thomas turned around and asked them, does one come into church with weapons? What do you want? And they said, we want your death. And right there, in the witness of the monks, the barons slaughtered Thomas. And thus he won his crown of martyrdom. Now, why was I thinking about all this for this Sunday? Well, it all started with reading the questions that we were asked today in today's scripture. Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? The question asks of our Lord. And then the question that our Lord asks of the people listening to him. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? And what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? But what did you go out to see? I guess I thought about it. The question that Thomas asked those barons, why are you here? What do you want? Of course, their answer was brutal, and their actions proved. But I think it's a good time for us on the second Sunday in Advent to examine ourselves and ask ourselves some good questions about our relationship with God. Especially when considering the lives of the saints like St. Thomas, what would we be willing to give up to stand up for God's kingdom? What have we given up? Time is very short, and heaven weighs in the balance. It's for our. It's there for us to take. We've been offered it. Eternity in heaven. But we have to make good use of the opportunities, like Thomas did of his opportunity, of the opportunities given to us. The opportunities as given to us right now. This time. It's the fool who says, well, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll take care of it. No, who can guarantee themselves tomorrow? Christ tells us what to do with tomorrow. Don't even worry about it. Let tomorrow worry about itself. For the evils of the day are sufficient thereof. Worry about now. Not even worry, but concern yourself with now, with the graces that you've been offered, and make good use of those graces. And you will, you know what you will find? Peace, joy, true happiness, fulfillment. We are given that opportunity during this Advent season to prepare our hearts, to make room in our hearts so that Christ can be born anew. We are told this, but what do we do about it? If you do not make room in your heart during this preparatory time, you will not be able to have what is offered to you to have when Christmas comes around. It is my hope that you all have a very joyful and blessed Christmas. But that's nothing I can do for you except do what I'm supposed to do, but only you can do it for yourself, and this is the time. Deny self. Do those things you need to do. Pray your prayers, your morning prayers, your night prayers. Get back in a routine of spiritual exercises. Look at your relationship with God and become very serious about it. Make it something that you just don't do during Advent or Lent, but you do all the time. You build off of it. And if you make good use of this, of these opportunities, then you too will win the crown that's waiting for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.